Our gospel lesson this morning is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Hear the word of God. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. For when you have found him, bring me word so that I may go also and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A creche on a table is missing some pieces. It has Mary and Joseph and a small baby Jesus. The shepherds are present, quaking with fear. They were summoned by angels in fields quite near. Some cattle and sheep are standing at hand, and a star on the roof shines good news to the land. But three figures are absent. They are nowhere in sight. Apparently, they've disappeared from sight and in the night. And a little girl noticed it right away. She pointed it out to her daddy one day. "Look, daddy," she whispered, "the wise men aren't there. Are they still in a box? Or did they disappear?" He had no idea where they might be found. Three figures had vanished. They were not around. Where have the wise men gone? In Matthew, they're magi, not three wee kings. It's misleading to think of the old carol we sing, probably not kings, but wise men or sages who've studied the heavens throughout the ages. No one can number the magi for sure, but the number three certainly does endure. If they brought three gifts, so the reasoning goes, there must be three wise men, as everyone knows. Tradition has given a name to each one. Although true identities will never be known, old bearded Melchior carried gold for a king, and a tan young Gaspar, his incense did bring. A man with dark skin was named Balthazar. Myrrh was the spice that he brought from afar, and these three gifts Myrrh should raise some eyes. It's an embalming spice for a person who dies. We can't say for certain if this was the buzz, but we do know that the wise men looked something like us. For they were goyim, the Gentiles outside the promises of Israel, and they did abide in places like Persia, that is Babylon, the site of the exile where Israel had gone. As ancient astrologers, they read the signs in the sky. They studied the stars, marking wonders on high. These days, our magi will read horoscopes to look for some guidance that bolster their hopes. In search of direction, what to do, what to be, they will turn to their psychics on cable TV. The point is this. They didn't know Scripture, God's story. The Magi knew mystery, but knew not God's glory. They read nature's face and sensed holiness was lurking, yet they did not know what surprise God was working. They discerned a new king was about to be born, but they didn't know where, how, when, or what morn. With something like faith that seeks understanding, they climbed on their camels, all three of them banding, to journey some distance to countries afar, quite simply because they had seen a new star. Now, most of us wish for more tangible proof. We don't want to wander and learn it's a goof. So give them some credit, though they knew not God's name. Attuned to deep mystery, they came seeking his name. How strange such outsiders were gathered by grace, exotic and Gentile, yet in God's embrace. Yet, where are the wise men? Where have they gone? One answer, I think, comes with sobriety and slices through popular notions of piety. The creche comes from Luke, at least technically speaking. Luke alone thinks the scene bears some repeating. Mary wrapped Jesus to lie in a manger. According to Luke, he was not in danger. Joseph stood there, and Mary did ponder, while barnyard animals around them did wonder. Then shepherds arrived in their old and odd adoration as angels sang songs of annunciation. The creche seemed so gentle, an idyllic scene. We almost forgot that the world was so mean. Matthew says otherwise and gives candid news of evil, deception, and power's abuse. In Matt's Christmas story, God gives constant warning to those near the child, his birth on that morning, did announce death of deadliness in this age. Yet Herod, we know, still erupts in rage. Listen, this world gives out crosses to carry, the righteous and innocent this age wants to bury. After seeing the child, the wise men dreamed fear. When God warned, "Get moving," they didn't stay near. So we shouldn't expect to see them in a creche. They didn't stay long enough to risk their necks. Their absence, I guess, is a sign for the brave of this present world that Christ came to save. Where life is at risk, the question not needed is, where are the wise men? For God's warning they heeded. Yet, where have the wise men gone? I ask, since devotion is the gift they bring in traveling far distances to search for a king, They stand in sharp contrast to those in the palace who lived in the dark shadows of evil and malice. The Magi went first to search for the king, a logical place for true homage to bring. Yet when they arrived, it was worse than suspected. The king whom they met wasn't whom they expected. That king's name was Herod, and he was quite sly. When he spoke of worship, it was a great lie. For kings cannot worship while sitting on thrones. They're distracted by greatness that seeps through their bones. This Herod had priests on his payroll, it seems, to manage his critics and justify his schemes. The witness of the Magi should be said loud and clear. If it wasn't for the wise men, we wouldn't be here. When the wise men came ignorant of the child's birth, Herod beckoned to priests and asked them with myrrh, "Would you look to the scriptures and fill in our gaps? Then go back to your rooms and back to your maps. We'd like to worship the newborn king." But he didn't mean it, for he didn't sing. Herod couldn't adore him, not that kind of man who co-opted priests to short-circuit God's plan. He turned to the scriptures to justify himself, and then he put them back high on that dusty old shelf. What's lacking? Devotion. And wisdom so true that begins with the fear of a God who can do some holy, fierce wonders on which we depend. Our God dethrones all those whose knees will not bend. We learn our example in those from the East. They did not know scripture, but their lives were a feast of gratitude and praise that were given in freedom. These are the two true gifts of God's present kingdom, devotion and scripture. When they go hand in hand, we'll unveil Christ who draws near to our land. Remembering this, let's return to the issue. Before someone wraps me up in ribbon and tissue, namely, where have the wise men gone? They went home by another way. That's where they went. Tired and weary, most likely spent, no longer at ease in the old dispensation, a new king was enthroned upon their adoration. For long before Jesus grew up among Jews, the wise men were home, outspreading the news. Those unlikely Persians who read horoscopes now pointed to Israel as the source of their hopes. And like a small seed that is planted by hand, God's kingdom took root in a foreign land. Where have the wise men gone, might we ask? They've gone home to begin a new task. Look, most of us are Gentiles, like wise men of old. We depend on their message, just as we've been told. Some still worship stars or do hocus pocus or live by vague hungers that lack a clear focus. Others live in big palaces and overconsume. They grow weary of grace, and that is their doom. And consider this world where we live and we die. Innocence still slaughtered, and leaders still lie. Yet God is here too, in some ways quite concealed. Our work is announcing the good news revealed. Revealed to wise men and women whose hearts are awake, We tell them how Christ has been born for our sake. For here is our King who lies sweet in a manger. He was born in a world that was filled with danger. Christ is the King above all other kings, and those bruised by this world are the first ones to sing. Their song now continues to swell through the air until every last person is free from despair. We join in that song, which we will win over fear. For Magi has told us that God has come near, and our God will triumph, we will see in the end, when each tongue confesses and each knee bends. Come and worship. Come and worship. Worship Christ, the newborn King.